Podcast 82, Jesus, Temptation in the Wilderness. The Gospel reading for this podcast is Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. If we think about wilderness, what picture does it conjure up in your mind? Today, we are considering Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. In recent years, we've had the very successful New Zealand movie, Hunt for the Wilder People, on our local cinema screens. And in this movie, two unlikely companions, the troubled city slicker kid and the bitter old hunter, flee out into the New Zealand bush as a refuge from people who want to change their lives in a range of ways. In the case of this movie, the wilderness is the New Zealand bush, which is still wild enough to claim the lives of quite a few unwary people who venture into it every year. But the wilderness Jesus ventured into was not that kind of wilderness. Let's consider the geography we're talking about for a minute. Jesus has just been baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, and the most popular traditional location for this event is the baptismal site near where the Jordan enters the Dead Sea, quite a long way from Jesus' home patch of Galilee. And what is this Judean wilderness like? Dry, dusty, hot, stony. In summer, 40 degrees Celsius in the shade. A maximum rainfall of 100 millimeters in a year. If you climb to one of the high hills, the view you get is brown as far as the eye can see. Apart from a few shepherds and rugged people like John the Baptist, who made this wilderness his home, it represents a dangerous and inhospitable setting. This is where Jesus went. But why? Why didn't he start his ministry straight away? He's just been baptized by John in the River Jordan, and he doesn't have very long, 3 short years. He needs to get back to Galilee. What is he doing wasting time in the desert? Luke tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for a specific purpose, so to be tempted by the devil. So God is guiding Jesus into the desert, just as he did with the children of Israel in Exodus. And this narrative underlines the biblical principle that God's calling must be tested. The Spirit, having empowered Jesus for his mission as God's Son, now is the one who leads him into the wilderness, where his call must be tested. Like most of his heroic predecessors in biblical history, people such as Abraham, Joseph, Moses, David, Jesus has to pass a period of testing before beginning his public ministry. And if you feel a calling or leading from God to a particular vocation, to do something for God, be it small or great, expect to be tested. Even though we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Do not bring us to the test," we will at times experience testing if we are engaged in being obedient to God's will. So Jesus is in the desert fasting. It's hot during the day, 40 degrees. At night, like most deserts, it's cold, bitterly cold. Jesus fasts for 40 days and nights. The number 40 in Scripture is a significant one, which characterizes a period of testing, trial, or probation. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and nights on 2 separate occasions, receiving the Torah, the law, from God's hands. Now Jesus is hungry, and that is the focus for the first temptation. We know that later in his ministry, Jesus performs several miracles related to food, at Cana in Galilee, changing water into wine, and multiplying loaves and fishes. Turning stones into bread is not impossible for the Son of God. So why does Jesus refuse to do this? Because Jesus lives by the principle that God provides all his needs. Jesus will wait for God to provide, not intervene with a miraculous event to provide for himself. The scripture that Jesus quotes to confound the devil reinforces this interpretation. In Deuteronomy 8:3, it's Moses speaking to the children of Israel. And Moses says this, "Remember the way that the Lord God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So you can see the connections here between Moses, the children of Israel, and Jesus. Man does not live by bread alone. Jesus will wait for God to provide, just as God provided manna for the children of Israel in the wilderness. In the next temptation, the devil seeks to trap Jesus by quoting scripture. Whether in a vision or in real time, the devil encourages Jesus to do something to deliberately put himself at risk, so that God will be forced to rescue him, thereby attesting to Jesus' heavenly credentials. By wanting Jesus to jump over an abyss, maybe the southeast corner of the temple area which overlooks the Kidron Valley, inviting certain death without God's intervention, the devil wants Jesus to presume on his relationship with God. The devil wants Jesus to act if God were there to serve him, the Son, rather than the reverse. And Jesus' reply again is from scripture, from Deuteronomy. Do not put your Lord God to the test. Satan was asking Jesus to prove that God was with him. And sometimes do we question whether or not God is with us? We should note the patience of God toward us. For surely we have all tested God ourselves sometimes as we wander through our small and great wildernesses. The third temptation, in some ways, is the greatest. The devil offers Jesus a way to have dominion over the world without the messy suffering involved in the cross. The devil offers what is his to offer. They are his dominions, the kingdoms of this world, in all their glory. All Jesus has to do is bow down and worship the devil. And once again, Jesus refuses this temptation by quoting from Scripture, Deuteronomy 6:13, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him alone." Exactly the same temptation is placed in Jesus' path much later in the gospel by none other than Jesus' own star disciple. Peter echoes Satan's theology exactly, the messianic kingdom but without the cross, in Matthew 16. Jesus reacts by pushing Peter away in disgust, just as he does on this occasion with Satan. And in the occasion with Peter, he actually calls Peter, Peter, Satan. Jesus' mission involved the cross, and whether we like it or not, so does our mission. Luke's account of the wilderness temptation shows Jesus is the new Moses, who will provide manna or bread for his people, water that will never run dry, and God will deliver Jesus by resurrection. He will eventually rule all the nations and kingdoms of the world. So let's follow Jesus in this example. In the wilderness, Jesus embraces his vocation, his calling to ministry. Let's face temptation and call on God's grace to overcome it. And you notice how Jesus answers every temptation Satan puts to him. It is written. So let's know and use scripture authentically in its correct context to guide our thoughts, to guide our behavior, and to resist temptation. Let's follow Jesus on his way to the cross and not seek to dodge the hard stuff our calling to be disciples sends us.